So I want to minister something to you, and if you have your Bibles, which you should, open them up or turn them on, go with me to the book of Acts chapter 20. There's so many things they put on here for me to announce. And go on the app or the website and find out all these things. Wearing me out up here, all this stuff. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." Take heed unto yourself. And the flock of God. If I don't take care of myself spiritually, I'm not available to take care of anyone else. I am committing to give my entire Tuesday to Jesus. I'm not going to be in the office. I'm not going to be in meetings. I'm not going to be meeting with people. I'm going to be giving my Tuesday to the Lord. And all of the meetings can be pushed back. And, well, that's going to slow things down, or maybe that's going to, what's that mean? Or I don't know. I just think a church does better when they have leaders who are in love with Jesus and spend time with the Lord. I'm more committed to spend more time with Jesus than I am people. And I love people, don't get me wrong, but what and how we are able to do what God's called us to do as a church, his presence in this room, comes out of our team spending time with Jesus. And so we're going to be spending more time with the Lord throughout the week, more time reading the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God. Our youth leader, Riley, got up and preached to the teens a couple weeks ago, and her sermon was the entire Sermon on the Mount. She got up and quoted all of Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It took 19 minutes. Our teenagers had never heard anybody preach the Sermon on the Mount from memory. Give her a big God bless you. That's beautiful. Memorizing the Word of God. Take heed unto yourselves and the flock of God from which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. To feed the church, which he purchased with his own blood. How many of you love the church? That was terrible. How many of you love the church? I'm not just talking about creative church. I'm talking about the church Jesus died for. How many of you love the church? That none of you would be here, including me, if it wasn't for the church. I'm not just talking about creative church. I'm talking about the church. All of us can trace our walk with Jesus back to the church. Somebody who sowed into our heart, who got saved at a church, or we got saved. How many of you grew up going to Sunday school? Amen. Look at all the hands. Children's church. I could tell you my Sunday school teachers right now. Sister Osborne, Sister Filer, Brother Billy, because we used to call them brother and sister. I remember the felt boards. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Y'all didn't have felt boards? The overhead transparency machines. It was written on our heart. Father Abraham, many sons had, and I am one of them. So let's just praise the, yeah, you know it. The B-I-B, yes, the book for me. I upon word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah. You can tell the ones that grew up in a Pentecostal church because they shout Bible at the end, right? We grew up, you shout Bible at the end. The Baptists don't say anything after. They just, the Lutherans just let it go. Smile, come on. But it was written upon our heart. As young men and women, You need to take heed unto yourself, your prayer life, your walk with Jesus. Lest we lose our way and our path with the Lord. And I want to give you just a couple quick principles. I'm not going to talk to you long, but just a couple quick principles when it comes to discerning the will of God for your life. How many of you are tired of making bad decisions? Some of y'all still can't be honest about it. How many of y'all are tired of making bad decisions in life? And you're getting too old and too late in the day to be... You know, you start seeing that gray hair start coming in. You better wise up. And only the people who don't get wiser are the people who are too foolish to look back. See, when you're young, you can't really do it when you're in your teens and 20s. But when you get older, you can start looking back and start tracing your life. And you start going, you know what? This is a pattern for me. Every time I get lonely, I do this. And every time I get depressed, I go here. And you start looking at your life. And just because you're old don't mean you wise. Wisdom comes from the Lord. I know a lot of foolish older people. Stubborn ain't cute and it ain't sexy. Humility attracts the presence of God. Humility. Being like Jesus. God, search my heart. Open the eyes of my understanding that I may see. How many of you have ever been going through something and whatnot, and all of a sudden it just dawns on you, like you see it? Am I the only one in here who's ever been like that? Like you just, some people may have been trying to tell you for years, but until you see it. And then they tell you, I've been telling you that. Is it just me? Anybody know what I'm talking about? When all of a sudden, it's like it's like God opened the eyes of your understanding. Sometimes we have to get knocked down too many times before we learn. Some of us are slow of heart. Grandmama said, you either going to listen or you going to feel. Y'all had the same grandmama I had. Spending time with the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Saying, God, I need to wait on you. My boys, Joanne was wanting to do something the other day, and we got ready, and me and the older two boys were ready, and Joanne's not ready. And so we're waiting on her, and Nicholas goes, let's just go. You know, she can meet us. She's got to have her drive and meet us there. I said, yeah, well, that's an idea. And I said, let me tell you two something. I said, y'all are going to be waiting on a woman all of your life. This is not, you don't outgrow this. You go to the grave with this. And I said, the reason I'm waiting is because I want to go with her. We could go without her. But you wait when you want to go with. Some of us are not willing to wait on the Lord. You're willing to date. See, you're ready, but he's not. I'm a date. I'm ready. I'm going to start this thing. You better learn to wait on the Lord. How many of you have already messed up going without him? I know what it's like to go without him. And then you kick the wall. God will, how many of you know God will let you go? Go on, go on. See how much fun it is without me. Go on, go on. It's like you got teenagers. They can't wait to be on. Go. It ain't going to be what you think it is. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I remember being a little kid. I couldn't wait to be grown. And my grandma would say, child, now being grown ain't as good as you think it is. Learning to discern the will of God. I'm going to give you four things to write down. Number one, when it comes to discerning the will of God, you first look to the scriptures. The Holy Scriptures are your authority. You see why Satan doesn't want you to know them? You see why you're fought hardest? Think about how long you've been walking with Jesus and how little Bible you have memorized. How can you be saved 10, 20, 30 years and not have a chapter of the Bible memorized? This is a misappropriation of the Word of God. I'm not talking down to anybody. My heart's to ask the Holy Spirit to convict us, to say, Lord, let us hide your word in our heart. How can you judge anything in the kingdom and you don't know any Bible? That's why you judge with your feelings. How many of you know your feelings will lie to you? The Holy Scriptures, and the Scriptures are the authority. If I say something that's contrary to the Scriptures, you believe the Scriptures. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. The other thing you need to know about the Scriptures is God will never tell you to do something that's contrary to the Scriptures. So whoever wrote on their prayer request card 2 weeks ago, I know who my husband is. The problem is they're married to someone else. That's not God. Let me just tell you publicly. It's not the Lord, because that goes against Scripture. Y'all are like, what? Yeah, I could write a book on 20 years of pastoring. God told me. No, God didn't tell you that. No, God didn't tell you that. That's not God. God's not going to tell you anything that is contrary to his Scriptures. God works through authority. All through Scripture, God works through authority. And then all of a sudden, God talking to you outside of authority. No. So the first thing is the Scriptures. The second thing, now let me say it like this. I'm going to give you three more, and they're not in that. The three I'm going to give you are not in any order. But Scriptures is the first. I want to say that. The Scriptures has first. But the other three, it's not in an order. But I'll just give them to you. The second is going to be godly counsel. Your pastors. You need a pastor. Let me tell you something. Some of you have never let your heart be pastored. You've never let your heart be pastored. When I go to the gym, I have to have a trainer because I will not work out hard. I'll be drinking a smoothie, talking to people. You know, like it'll just be like, Jen's like, you didn't even sweat. What did you do? You know? So like Blake and I were at the gym, this week with Nico, who trains me. We train at Game Face. And so if I don't have him with me, and he does it with me, and if I don't have him, I want, you know, because it don't take me long to talk myself out. You know, I'm the whole time like, you know, is this necessary? You know, and I can't have anybody with me who's like, you know, that looks heavy, you know, or because I'll be like, you know, I'll agree with them. So I got to have someone who will not agree with how I feel. And when we go, I submit. I don't argue. I don't tell him what I saw on YouTube. I don't tell him what TikTok exercise I saw. I just go, what are we doing? And I do that. And it's terrible. The whole thing is awful. And it hurts. And I need a nap after. But I know it's for my good. Now imagine this is a gem spiritually. And some of y'all will not grow if you don't have a pastor. You will not move forward into memorizing scripture. You will not move forward in the things that God's called you to be. You will not move forward into the things of God. And that's why you need it. That's why God gave it to you. God gave that to you. And gifts are given to be used. Anytime you give somebody a gift and they never use it, you always feel funny about it. Because gifts are given to be used. And so you want to confirm it with your pastors. I had a pastor call me today and said, I had a member leave last winter because they said they saw a bird fly north. And they knew that was God. God, I saw that. And I moved their whole family. He said, all birds fly north in the spring. You know, you might just need a little more confirmation than I saw a bird. You got teenagers. You better take seriously their walk with God spiritually. You start modeling this jumping around. You start modeling. You don't need the church. You start modeling. That's what you're going to raise. Raise your hand again if you went to Sunday school. Look around this room. Look around this room. Now, take your hands down. All of you are here and you went to Sunday school. Now, imagine the kids whose parents are jumping around. Church to church to church to church, place to place to place. They just on YouTube. You think 20, 30 years from now, we're going to have a whole church of people say, I'm here because that's how I grew up? It's not going to happen. Those of you that have children, you better take seriously your walk with God. It has to be an anchor for your family, an anchor. And I'm not just talking about coming to church. I'm talking about your prayer life, your walk with God. If your children only see you pray, worship, read the Bible, serve on Sunday, to them your faith will be religion, and the best place to raise an atheist is a religious home. So I need this in my life. Number three, visions and dreams. I'm almost done. Visions and dreams. Now, visions and dreams alone aren't enough because Satan can get in your dreams. You watch pornography, pornography will get in your dreams. You watch horror films will get in your dreams. But if you turn your family's heart and affection towards the presence of God gets in their dreams. And number four, confidants and family. So when Joanne and I get ready to make decisions, this is the path we take. Does it agree with the scriptures? Has God confirmed it through visions and dreams? Is this something that our pastors and leaders, our board, is this something that our family and even our... I was up this morning at 4 o'clock and I was literally on my... I told y'all I have this black Husky knee pad that I got from Home Depot. And I kneel on it and I have a gray chair and I lay in the chair there and I'm praying. And my uncle calls me this morning at like 5 o'clock. And so, because I'm listening to worship music through my phone and I see it's him and he doesn't call me that early. So I called him. He's like, I was up praying for you and God showed me this and this and this and I want to come see you. So I book a ticket. I'm coming tomorrow. And he goes, I need to come and pray for you and pray for the church and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm in my prayer time. But that was a confirmation. I'm like up praying and God's speaking to him. He calls me and confirms. That's family. Confidants are those people in your life that have accomplished it. Yeah. Quit taking marriage advice from your friend who just got married. And get you some people in your life who've been married 40 years, survived hell and trauma and difficulty. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? Because your friends are like, I wouldn't take it. If it was me, child, I wouldn't take it. That's why it ain't you. You need to get some people in your life who have survived some things, who have accomplished some things, who have raised children that love Jesus, who understand honor, people who have stayed. So many people, as soon as they get offended, as soon as something goes wrong, they jump. Even in church, I don't like this, I'm jumping, I'm like this. If they do it in their home. I don't like that in my family. I'm leaving my family, I'm leaving this. And there's other men that stayed and said, we're going to fix this. We're going to figure it out. Well, what's wrong? Let's fix it. I'm not leaving. I told Joanne, I said, whatever goes wrong, I'm not leaving. One, I couldn't afford the child support. No way, with 8 kids. I'd have to move in with her and her new husband. I got to stay. You just make it where divorce is not an option. I know it's not popular. I'm going to say it anyway. You make it where divorce is not an option. Okay, so we gave you visions and dreams. We gave you the scriptures, godly counsel. And what was the last one? Confidants and family. This is where the Bible says, in the counsel of many, there is wisdom and safety. In the counsel of many, there's wisdom and safety. When you get ready to make, I'm not talking about where you're going to eat for lunch or something like that. I'm talking about directional decisions. In the counsel of many, there's wisdom. Praise the Lord. So moving forward, this is how I'm going to make decisions. And I want to tell you about a decision before we pray that Pastor Joanne and I have made. And we've spent several months praying about it. We've run it through the Holy Scriptures. God's confirmed it with visions and dreams. Our board, our pastors, along with our friends, our confidants and family. And that's that starting next Sunday, we're going to be bringing our Maple Grove, our Spring Lake Park, and our Andover families back together here at Maple Grove starting next Sunday. Somebody say amen about that. And so we're in a season of revival in our church. And more than I've ever seen in 20 years. And I don't mean that thousands of people are coming. What I mean by that is God is trusting us with his presence more than ever before. And I want every member of our family to experience this. And I want us as a church to walk in divine unity. Now I'm out of time, but listen, not that I'm not a slave to the clock. The clock didn't die on the cross for me. But let me say this to you. There may be somebody sitting next to you next Sunday. Let me say it like this. Joanne and I were at a conference about a month ago, and we were sitting there, and at the end of the service, the pastor said, I have a friend that's here, and he wants to pray for whoever wants prayer. I never heard of this guy. He looked like a priest or something. And Joanne goes, I think we should get prayer. And I said, yeah, I do too. We stood in line for 2 hours. We stood after a 3.5-hour service. We stood for 2 hours in a line for prayer. And my feet were hurting. I don't know. I was looking at every skinny person going like, this is not the same sacrifice. It's not the same offering. My back was hurting, my legs were hurting, and I started thinking about every reason why I could just pray for myself. I'm just being honest with you. I know this has never happened to you. Pray for me. And so I'm standing there, and it's 2 hours, and it dawns on me, I may be about 15 minutes from the front, it dawns on me that there's something holy about waiting. There's something that God honors when you inconvenience yourself for him. There's something, and the closer I got, and when he prayed for me, this is how long the prayer was. Before God, this is how long the prayer was. That was the prayer. 2 hours. Because it wasn't about him or the prayer. It was the 2 hours of hunger. It was the 6 days of marching around Jericho. I drive 45 minutes to get here, an hour to get here. Every minute, God sees it. I got to walk in the cold across the parking lot. God sees it. I got to stand in line to check in my kids. God sees it. I got to get them dressed and where's your other shoe? And all of this, God sees it. And I think as pastors, I am personally guilty of trying to think of ways to make it convenient. Well, let's do multiple services. Let's do this, let's do this. I don't want the people to ever have to be hard on them. And because pastors are taught that, because there's a fear that if we make it, if there's any hurdle, you won't come. So let's make it as easy as possible. But there's something that God honors when people are inconvenienced for him. When you see people, there's a restaurant, you see people standing. How many of y'all went to the fair and you saw people standing in line for pickle pizza or and you think, my God, look at that line. There's Pastor, he's in the line, I saw. And you see hundreds of people waiting in line for an hour, 2 hours for a slice of pizza. You think, man, they must really desire that. Isn't that what you think? They must really want that. And they're being ripped off. 4 times the cost. They must really want that. You know what that, see, that's the same thing with God. God sees it when you're hungry. The Bible says, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. I'm not saying I'm going to try to make it difficult. But what I am saying is, when you have to wait, when you have to be inconvenienced in the parking lot because pastor didn't preach short, we're trying to figure out spots and we're trying to check in the kids or I'm driving to get here or there's something holy in that. Sacrificial to give, sacrificial to worship. We've been standing for an hour to worship and now we got to stand while all these people get prayed for and they're sick. And if you were sick, you'd want to believe God. You know, I talked to pastors later, they're like, you pray for the sick every service? You have communion every service? I'm like, well, you make announcements every service. What heals people more? If we're going to cut one, cut the announcements. But see, when you got a fear of people, and you're scared they won't come back, then you do the announcements and scrap communion. Communion heals God's people. Praying for the sick. Jesus told us to pray for the sick. He never said, make announcements. I'm not against it. I'm not being legalist. I'm not condoning a church. I'm not mean to talk about any kind of way because I made announcements today. What I'm saying is our heart has to be him first. If we pressure something, pressure the things that are peripheral to him. And when you have to wait or whatever you have to do, see it as holy to Jesus. And so starting next Sunday, our whole family is going to come back here and we're going to believe God for a greater outpouring and an anointing and unity and miracles and signs and wonders like never before. Come on, give Jesus a praise. Amen. Hey, if this sermon blessed you and your family, I want to encourage you to be a truth partner. You can do that by simply going to creativechurch.com/give and partnering with us to help get this message of truth out to more people in our nation and around the world. It is our truth partners that make this a reality. Again, thank you for subscribing to our channel. Thank you for liking today's video. We'll see you back here on the channel real soon.